Good morning, folks. Happy Friday and welcome back. This is the Drive Time Friday show. We got, as usual, a whole lot to talk about today. And I think, at least, that I got David Justice, co-host online. So I'll say good morning, David. How are you doing? And where on this day would you like to start?
Well, hi, Mark, and thanks for always sharing the air with me. I would like to discuss, in addition to what we see them doing, you know, I'd like to discuss what we're doing, you know, spend as much time on that, because I'm feeling the deep state, the globalists, the whoever they are, you know, really gearing up here to protect themselves after that Durham report came out and basically, impeached all of them of, well, when I say all of them, that's kind of broad, but let's just say exonerated Trump and kind of turned the tables. And now I see a desperate system wanting to do desperate things to maintain, desperately maintain its, control on power and through the institutions on this planet. So I'd like to kind of move into that, arena a little bit as we talk about the news this week, Mark.
Okay. Well, you know, you're right. I guess it's not like this is, I've been saying this for weeks, it seems like at this point. Literally nothing that's happening is new. We are seeing same old, recycled stuff, the same evil. And the big difference is more and more people are just realizing, you know, this evil that we've been hearing about, this, these so-called conspiracy theories, the old joke and all that. Well, we're way past the 6 month timeout. And most Americans, I think, are realizing these really are criminals. And that's a tough adjustment. It's a significant emotional event, as the psychologist would say, to recognize that they have been lying for basically most of your lifetimes, but they've switched it into high gear. So you're right. Let's dispense with the Durham thing. I mean, we talked about this when it first came out. Essentially, no indictments. The bottom line is, look, they were criminals. We know it. Everybody knows it. They tried to destroy a country. They stole an election. They tried to cement a revolution in place. And guess what? I guess we have to admit they were successful, because we're not about to indict anybody, much less try anybody for treason. And honestly, my take, David, to start with is that while Durham may have done the right thing in terms of letting people know, what he admitted to the American people is, well, it's done. Stick a fork in it. We don't have a rule of law, because none of these people are going to be held accountable. And I guess the concern I would echo right off the top again is, unless there are real consequences, unless we actually see, first off, get rid of these people, get rid of Christopher Wray and all the scumbags. Obama knew about it before the election in 2016. Unless there are genuine consequences and we see trials for treason and convictions and the things that follow when people destroy a country, the country has been destroyed. And it really is that simple. Where else would you like to go on that score?
Well, let's spend another moment on treason. You know, we have rule of law, and under rule of law, you have separation of powers, executive, legislative, and judicial, which ultimately translates into the legislature making law, and they write civil law and they write criminal law. Treason is an entirely different animal. You know, it's treason is, the power of treason originates in the Constitution. I mean, the power of the people to, as the last line of demarcation in the sand or whatever, holding on to our guns to prevent a government from becoming the very thing this government has become. Okay, so the what we're showing is that the instrumentalities of government has been completely commandeered, and that's what the Durham report distinguishes. But now you're saying, well, but no court in the land is going to hear this case, which is to admit defeat.
Well, I don't know that no court will hear it. Let's just say Durham didn't bring charges.
Well, let me just finish. I think the military may be the only power with the required jurisdictional limitations to hear charges of treason, which would mean that these would have to be military indictments, Mark.
Okay. Well, honestly, I am not familiar enough with, I mean, I know some stuff about the UCMJ and so forth, but as far as jurisdiction, I'm not sure, honestly. Essentially, the presidency and these various offices are called civilian offices, but, there has been an invasion. There's a continuing invasion. There has been an attack. And the fact that the military has stood down is a concern right there because, I saw in the top of the hour news, they had a thing saying, oh, the Republicans won't stand for any cut in the military budget. And I'm going, so big deal. They're not defending the country. There's an invasion going on. What difference does it make? You don't want to cut the amount of crap that they're sending over to Ukraine so that it's not available to be used here when the communist Chinese come up north? The problem, and this is where I'm struggling with the depth and degree of all of this, David, is that it is so widespread, it is so pervasive, and it is so out of control at this point that people are they're going to have to wake up and realize first, unless we see real consequences, I keep coming back to that, unless people just say, I've had enough, I'm mad as hell, I'm not going to take it anymore, what we can do as individuals, of course, is come out. But people have to withdraw their consent for a process that is not a process. It's not a rule of law anymore.
Well, and again, we want to adhere to the rule of law as a basis because we want to maintain the high ground. When I say we, I'm talking about the champions of liberty and the champions of American constitutional law. And so in order to go by the law, there is a procedure. And therein lies our strength and our weakness.
Past tense.
You know, because we can get all caught up on procedure and never get to the substance of the issue. And so what Durham has done is he's demonstrated the substance of the issue, but he's also distinguished through the two lawsuits that he brought in the D.C. and in the Virginia area that he couldn't get a fair trial. So as we look at, okay, the logic train, what is reasonable? The people are sovereign. If the military is our last play, then I think the military, under the Trump administration, was fully aware that these treasonous acts had been performed. You and I have been aware of it for decades. So it seems to me that, and Trump was aware of it too. So I'm just not buying. Trump didn't set something in motion with the military when he declared that we were under attack in May last in 2020. That he didn't leave office with a military structure, hierarchy, overseer of the Biden administration, just like what Biden had set up over the Trump administration. Only Trump's administration, he has the substance of being able to get FISA warrants and all this. Now Durham has just revealed the truth of that. And so it's a reach for me to think that Trump didn't set something in the motion with the military when he knew an act of treason occurred on November 3rd of 2020. It makes no sense at all that Trump would leave unless the kind of warfare that we're engaged in this particular war is so heady. It's all information. It's like propaganda versus truth. And that's a genuine war going on. And so Trump created Space Force. I think the space that these people are waging war in is the realm of our thoughts, and that's completely scriptural too. And it seems fitting that in this particular battle it would be a war of the mind, a war for the mind. They're battling for our minds. They want to control our thoughts. They want to control what we think, what we say, where we go, what we do. They've already shown their hand. Okay, so the military, as I understand the process, when a nation, we've been attacked on our own soil with an invisible enemy, with a hidden agenda, with, you know, fighting shadows. And, you know, Trump refers to them as the deep state, but we know them as the powers of darkness, you know, the principalities and the powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world, which is the ultimate enemy. So here we are, and I'm just, everything in me says the military and certain other figures appointed by Trump before he left office are keeping an eye on this thing. And what they need from us, the people, is to stop looking to the state as a nanny state, get off the nipple, and wean ourselves off of a system that, as part of the tactic of this particular warfare, the enemy has every intention of shipwrecking the ship as long as they survive with the life rafts, you know? And that's where they're taking this. And they're, so it's like watching a movie. And you, and I think that if we step back far enough, I see that there are tactics going on. And I see the hand of our Father at work in this thing, orchestrating this thing in a really magnificent way that's exposing them and giving us our voice and power back. Okay. And I think there's a result that's occurring, and I'm excited about that. And you know, these people that are in denial, you know, in order for them to come out of her, they need to have, they just have a higher tolerance level for pain, I guess. I don't know what that is. Why so many people have such a hard time not seeing this, Mark? I've just had a long rant. I'm going to give the floor back to you.
Okay. So, you know, you're right. I have said this for, it's been dawning on me slowly, but more suddenly of late for months that, once you see it, you can't unsee it. So certainly we've known any number of people, both of us in our lifetimes, that have begun to wake up, and then once they see it, they can't unsee it. Once you see how pervasive it is, it's impossible. It's kind of like that movie They Live, if you recall. It was an old cult classic where you put the glasses on, you can see all the evil. And I think it gets to the point where you can take the glasses off and you can still recognize they're just about all evil anyway. So we're seeing some of that. But the question that I wanted to ask you had to do with the the military and this issue of where we are and what's going on. I think you see things a bit more positively in the sense of the military doing something that I do. I would like to believe that you're right, that these things were put in place and that there's the white hats are out there working somewhere. The trouble is, it's been 2 years. The country has literally been destroyed every day for the last 2 years. We have seen incredible destruction of infrastructure. They're working to take down the power grid, you name it, and they're working hard to destroy it. The enemy comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. So I'm thinking to myself, well, you know, I'd like to believe that you're right and the military is going to do something. I haven't seen it yet. Do you see anything that I'm not, that makes you think that, yeah, there actually will be a military action here before the country is completely overrun and destroyed? Enlighten me. Give me some hope on that score, because I don't doubt that they're out there, but I just doubt that they're doing anything.
Well, okay. I lay a little bit of foundation. Let's walk through this, and this is a great conversation. In May of 2020, Trump distinguished that America had been attacked worse than 9/11 and worse than Pearl Harbor. And what he was referring to was the COVID-19. I know, but it was more than that. The attack was on the Constitution. The attack was on, the attack was crime against the people, crimes of humanity, and all of these things. And so Trump declared a national emergency. And it was during this national emergency that he declared that, that the elections occurred within. And under this national emergency, the military, and according to the Supreme Court, this is where the military gets its power, it rises to the level of the chief intelligence agency in the country. It takes preeminence over all of the other intelligence agencies, so it gets the last say. It is now in control of intelligence, and where this came about was in the 1960s, you know, during the riots and all that, and the military had stepped in and had infiltrated all the groups around the country that were the makers of the problem. They got the government got sued, and the Supreme Court basically said, no, you know, the military can do that in times of insurrection and in times of treason. And so it's really a matter of course that the military gets the power when the breakdown occurs in the civil government. So that's just the entry level. That's just the conversation to start with. Let's just start there. What do you think?
Well, okay. So assuming that's true, how would we know? What are we going to see? I mean, I'm looking for something that says, you know, I could give you 100 examples of things that I haven't seen that I would think would be interesting. Like, for example, a military attaché and a group of soldiers would show up at the White House and say, "We're arresting the fake." No, haven't seen that. How about Christopher Wray? There is a a move in the House. As you know, the FBI is in contempt of Congress. They have not declared it yet. They've said they've got 5 more days to produce documents having to do with bribery. And if they don't, now finally, they will hold Chris Wray in contempt of Congress. Maybe they'll arrest him. Let's see it. And, you know, that wouldn't necessarily be a military thing, but if it was, fine. But again, I haven't seen any indications on any of those fronts that there are actually, people taking action with respect to things that should have been going on a while ago.
Well, let me give you a justification for that. And that's really the best I have. I'm not saying it's true. I'm just justifying that. We're in an intelligence war. You know, General Flynn referred to it as fifth generational warfare. We've gone beyond guns. We've gone beyond bombs. Now we've gone into the intelligence agencies, CIA, FBI, the NSA. So it's a war of intelligence, and the intelligence and the world of intelligence is fighting. One side is fighting to hang on to what it had because it is jealous of the power of intelligence, especially Schiff, Adam Schiff, who was sitting on the board, the committee that ultimately was the committee over national security, and he's the chairman, and he's lying about what Trump did. So here we've got, I mean, if that's not treason, you know, so, but if an act of treason has occurred or an act of insurrection has occurred, then the military can step up and monitor. I'm going to go specific. Adam Schiff's phone calls, because the military can get a FISA warrant, and this is all done in secret. So we don't know. And you know the collateral damage of a war like this? Well, you know, again, the government's not our nanny, and we shouldn't be dependent on the government for anything anyway. So why are we whining when the government doesn't step up and protect us, unless it has a plan to step up and capture as many of these sons of bitches, these bastards, these false leaders as they can, rather than okay. And here on the other, in this corner, we have civil unrest already. We've got Antifa, and we have Black Lives Matter, and we have this whole, you know, ground regiment that, you know. They were looking to blame Trump for everything. I think that the reason the military didn't step up or hasn't stepped up is because of the disruption that would occur, the meltdown that would occur by the left, and our cities turns into riots and we turn into a civil war. So I think that there was some wisdom, some Sun Tzu wisdom, as to how they were approaching, again, the intelligence agencies of the world. And so I think what we're watching is a very dramatic playing out of a war that we can't comprehend or understand, because we think war should be fought with guns and bullets. But this war is not. This war is what does it say in Corinthians? It even says in 2 Corinthians, it says, the battle of our weapons are not carnal, but spiritual, you know, intellectual, imagination. They're the mind, the realm of the mind where thoughts occur. And there's a battle for our thoughts. As a matter of fact, where was it I heard this week? Maybe you know about this, where in a discovery or in some lawsuit in which Obama was engaged, the government was distinguishing our thoughts as part of the infrastructure of this country. Are you aware of that one,
Mark? Yes, I remember seeing that. They basically laid claim over the hearts and minds of the people and said, "We own you." So, what can you say other than good grief? There's no news in that, I guess. It's news to people that didn't realize this is the way they thought. But to the rest of us, we're saying, well, yeah, this is absolutely the way they thought. It's been obvious for quite a while. They're just coming out and admitted it. So here's the direction that I wanted to kind of to head things just a bit, David. I agree that the war is psychological. I agree that we've been engaged in a fourth generation war, or maybe we've moved beyond that now, for quite a while. The hearts and minds of the American people seem to have been dumbed down, and that, well, there is an exception. I've got a couple bits of good news here. I saw a story this morning. Tranheiser-Busch, there you go, has now lost over $15.7 billion in market value as a result of having to try to cram the tranny canny down Americans' throats. Target, one of the most wokest of absolutely reprobate corporations. They deserve bankruptcy. Hope they get it. But they have they've started to pull their swimwear line that's tranny oriented and all that kind of crap off the market. Governor Gruesome Newsom in California had a hissy fit. How dare they back off from destroying themselves in the name of the transgender war? So on that score and on that front, I think there are a lot of Americans that have been sitting still that are saying, I'm mad as hell and I'm not going to take it anymore. My concern is this. This is where I wanted to go. Maybe we have a slightly different way we look at prophecy. When I see where we are and what's happening, I can't help but think that there's a great falling away. I think we're seeing that in progress. Hadn't happened yet, personally. And there are going to be a lot of people that are going to shake their fist at the creator of the universe and say, blankety blank you, O God of the Bible. And unfortunately, I think we're a ways from getting that, from seeing that realization yet. In other words, things have got to get a whole lot uglier before they start getting better, I'm afraid. So with that on the table, I think it's interesting, at least, to talk about what you were suggesting with the military. I haven't seen it. I question this idea of whether or not they're worried about the cities erupting in flames. The cities have been erupting in flames. San Francisco is dead, defeated. It's nothing but feces and needles. Stick a fork in it. Likewise for Portland, Chicago, New York City, for crying out loud. What are they worried about? They're worried about the cities getting, could they get worse? That's my question. Go ahead.
Yeah, the scripture says, without a vision, my people perish. And or maybe is it they go into captivity for lack of knowledge?
Well, that's Hosea 4:6-4, and it's not only do they go in, my people perish for lack of knowledge, it's because you have rejected knowledge, he says. I will reject you from being a priest for me, and I'm also going to forget your children. And that is, if anything, the line that really ought to have people upset and awake at this point. I will forget your children. Well, look, that's pretty much exactly what's happened.
I think when people, the scripture talks about people shaking their fist at God, I think the fist should not be being shaken at our Father. The fist should be being shaken at the pastors and the ministers and the priests and the prophets of this planet that are completely misrepresenting them.
Absolutely.
And so I think the people, they shake their fist at something they don't understand, because the people that were telling them what to believe in and how to believe it, that system fails. That system is failing. It's collapsing with the rest because it's an institutional system like the rest. And so to the degree that people were dependent on it is the degree that people are going to shake their fists.
All right. Well, we're going to have to wait until the after button there break and shake some fists. are back, folks. This is the Drive Time Friday Show, second half at this point. And as we went to break, David and I were talking a little bit about where we're at, both prophetically and in terms of the war. And I think he's right. We have to recognize, yeah, there is a war going on. The war's been going on for quite a while. It began arguably centuries ago as a spiritual war. We've moved beyond the place where it is only spiritual. It's certainly economic. It's certainly propaganda-based. There is certainly an actual coup that has been successful now, I will contend, against the American form of government. No, it was never supposed to be a democracy. It was always supposed to be a constitutional form of government. Each state was guaranteed the chance to be a republic, and that doesn't exist anymore. Most politicians don't even know what a republic is. They think it's a democracy, and they don't recognize the founders called that the devil's own government, among other nasty things. So we're in the middle of the war. I guess the question that I would kind of want to make sure we stay focused on is, what does that look like? How are Americans supposed to fight it? And most of them are going to say, well, I'm going to sit this one out. You can't sit it out ultimately if you don't fight it and you don't recognize what's going on. Either you end up taking the mark of the beast or you end up in a concentration camp or both. And we're seeing so many of those things already start to play out, again, for those with eyes to see. All right, lots there, David. Go ahead and take us where you'd like. David, you're muted, I think. He was talking.
There I am. The one thing, the first thing we have to consider, I think, is what we do with our desire. And, you know, Scripture is very clear that our Father sends a powerful delusion to those who refuse to love the truth. So we can't lose sight of, you know, the number of times in Scripture where the truth came back to bite us, so to speak. In other words, Father rose up Babylon to destroy Israel, and he rose up Assyria to destroy Judah. Or was it the other way around? Yeah, Babylon destroyed Judah and Israel, and then Assyria took out the rest of them. Anyway, for the same reasons that the people didn't love the truth, it didn't love him. Love the principles that cause a society to function orderly. And that was the real thing, and that's why Israel was strong back in the day. And when we were orderly, when we had rule of law and order, then, you know, things went well. But that was commandeered. That engine was commandeered, that government. And they've translated it now into, quote, democracy. And they have misrepresented the government of this country in our schools, you know, beginning in elementary school all the way through higher education. And so it's extremely important conversation that the first thing we should do is figure out what government is and isn't supposed to do, what it can and cannot do, so that we understand where the limitations are. So when we're put into a situation, whether we've got to make a decision whether to comply or not, we can stand on principle and say, no, I'm not going along with this because this is completely illegal, as opposed to turning into a doormat and getting on our knees and begging, you know, the government for, you know, a mess of pottage. And that's what's been happening. And so, getting back to what you asked, okay, where do we start? Of course, we begin with the desire for truth. We learn about the principles of Scripture and law, and then we understand government. And that's what's missing, and that's what's being taken advantage of. This information war is they're taking advantage of our ignorance, Mark.
Okay, so let's go there. I think most of the listeners will know this, but I always think it's helpful since you laid it out so well to hit a couple of high points. One, we know what form of government we were supposed to have. We know what the purpose of government is, and all we got to do is read the founding document. The very basis of all law, the thing that brought this country into existence, was the following words: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. In other words, we have a contrator, we have a creator, and that the purpose of government is to secure these rights, they said, that come from the creator, not from Big Brother. And so ultimately, the question boils down to, do we have a government that is doing what it is supposed to? If it's not, it's illegitimate. And by the way, Scripture lays it out a bunch of different ways that all ultimately boil down to either the Ten Commandments or the two commandments or the royal commandment, the one that is called the most important commandment in the book by Yeshua, which is essentially Shema Israel, Hear, O Israel, and that would be all of us that like to be grafted in. Yahuwah Eloheinu, Yahuwah Echad. If we know He is, and that we serve Him and Him alone, and that that's what matters, and He says, choose life. I've laid before you life and blessing, death and cursing. So ultimately, all of this, the whole point of government is to secure rights, because He, the creator of the universe, is the supreme judge of the universe. That's from the Declaration as well. Everything we have comes from Him. He is the one that we owe our fealty to, our allegiance to. He is the true sovereign. All the others are fakes. And so ultimately, it boils down to choose life. If Big Brother is telling us choose death, take the poison poke, turn your kids over to us, turn your property over to us so that we will decide whether you live or die, turn your guns over to us so that we can kill you if we want, and if not, we'll send our minions from south of the border. They'll kill you. The Chinese communists that we've sold out to will kill you. Anytime we recognize that what's going on here is an abomination to the Creator, to His Word, to the supreme law, well, the lines suddenly become really, really clear. And I think that's, if there's good news in all of this, that people are saying, okay, it's so far gone, it's so much of a mess, that, yeah, I recognize the Creator was right. He warned us. He would choose our delusions. He would bring our fears upon us. He would blind those who choose, don't have a love of the truth, as you put it, and correctly. We're seeing all of that. So what do we do? Answer, we begin to walk in obedience to Him, choose this to whom you will serve, we choose life, and we start to let people know anything that's in opposition to that is not a legitimate government. Now, they may come and try to kill people. They intend to. They've been killing millions with the poison poke. That's not going to slow them down because we're at war. You know, we fight not against the things that are obvious. It's against powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this age. And they are definitely inclined to steal, kill, and destroy. All right. So that's my simple layout. Go ahead, David. Take us where you'd like.
Well, I'm going to just add to what you said because I can't even begin to disagree with it. The foundation of this country is a covenant with the Creator of the universe. Let's get our minds around this for a minute, okay? This nation is founded on a covenant with the Creator. The hero Israel, the Lord God is one. And we shall love the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay. One, hero Israel, the Lord is one. In other words, there's not two. And He's not over there. He's everywhere all the time. He's omnipotent, omnipresent. This Creator is what we have covenant with, who we have covenant with. That's what's missing and has been missing, and it hasn't really been hammered on in the churches to the point where the people understood that the relationship that we have with our Father is the foundation of the government of this country. Because see, the people are sovereign. And that's what's unique about America, is that the divine right of kings that existed up until the point that America was created, that line, the divine right of kings, was broken. And it was redistributed to amongst the people. Now the people inherited the divine right of kings to rule. And inside the gospel, that's really accurate because Yeshua is the King of Kings. And we are those kings over which Yeshua is king of. And see, that idea is what terrifies the enemies of this country, because we're talking about real power, not fiat, not because the legislatures of the countries and the Supreme Court said so. You know, that's not law. Those are Supreme Court opinions. They interpret law, and as the laws of the world grow and evolve and are propagandized and are politically motivated, they take us off this other path, and we call that confusion, and that's Babylon. So you talked about, you know, the other pagan gods. How do you know you're dealing with a pagan god? Because you're not dealing with truth. Well, how do you know what truth is? We're living in a world where we're told there is no truth. And if, you know, and if you attempt to champion, well, that's your opinion, you know, and so that's, again, why I think there's a great falling away, because the answers, are eluding even the leaders, the Christian leaders, so-called Christian leaders. And we're all just waiting for a rapture to get out of here, and that's our ticket home. And wait a minute. All power in heaven and earth was given to Yeshua, and he gave it to us. And America is a reflection of that power. And I'm not so sure we should be so quick to abandon the ship. If anything, we should be evolving beyond what the Founding Fathers set up as constitutional law, not devolving backwards. You know, the idea is the decentralization of power. And their idea is the centralization of power. So here we are, and this is why we're enemies of this particular state. They see us as terrorists and Nazis. They've called us all kinds of things because they've commandeered the narrative of control, and they've commandeered confusion as control. And we represent law, order, truth, all of the things that they despise. And so there's the breakdown going on in society. They're having a temper tantrum. Because there's enough of us standing and saying no, that they're not getting their way. And so they are losing power. And the military is ultimately going to have to make a choice. If the people are truly operating in their capacity and know who we are and know what our rights are and know what the limitations and the power of government is, then when that government intrudes into our world, into our life, we'll know exactly how to refuse, because we'll understand who we are, and we'll understand that they've gone rogue, and that they are our beast because we created it through our apathy, through our lack of integrity. We've developed this thing into what it is. I mean, it's ultimately on us. Judgment always starts with the house of God. So I think owning it, that we did this. We did this because we refused to love the truth, so we believed a lie, so our Father sent us a delusion. So now let's praise Father for the great delusion that he sent us, so that we feel the pain that we've inflicted upon ourselves, so maybe we won't do this again. And so I think that all that dynamic is at work. And so anyway, run with that, Mark.
Okay. Well, I want to throw one more story out, because I think one of the things what we're talking about is all kinds of lofty sounding stuff. Oh, understanding the principles of government, understanding scripture, and so forth. Well, it always boils down to, how do I walk it out? How do I take and walk day by day in the way that he's got me? And you're right. I have been more than critical of what I refer to as the whore church and the 501c3 whore pastors that preach another Jesus that we have not preached, and so forth and so on. So I don't even want to go there today. What I want to do instead is talk about the things that we need to be able to do and recognize. Well, anyway, here's a story. This came out this week. This didn't get much coverage, at least in the U.S. press. I did see it in the London press. The Gateway Pundit had a reference to it. There was a fellow who was a member of the Tohono O'odham Indian Nation. He was shot and killed on the border. Now, was it the invaders that shot and killed this fellow on his own property? No, here's the story. Courtesy of KVOA, local station down there in Tucson area. Raymond Mattia called the U.S. Border Patrol agents after he discovered a bunch of illegal migrants trespassing in his yard, his property. He was concerned about his safety. He called a request for assistance because there were multiple illegal immigrants who had trespassed in his yard. And guess what? Customs and Border Patrol showed up, and they shot him. So they killed the guy who was on his own property. And I remember looking at this and going, wait a minute. How many illegals are there? 10,000 or more a day of late. Millions upon millions have crossed the border. How many people are living down there? Answer, a tiny, tiny fraction. What are the odds? I mean, think of it this way, David. What are the odds that even accidentally they could kill an actual American citizen? as opposed to one of the many, many, many invaders. Something is horribly wrong here, and I think that is the issue that really needs to be addressed. We're dealing with a situation where people are saying, oh, wait a minute, this is insane. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, clearly we've been invaded. Let's say I don't know how much more we need to wrap our brain around that. We've been invaded, not only from without, but from within. So we've had treason at the highest level, and we have at the lowest level, we have an invasion force crossing our borders. And this includes Chinese nationals, men of fighting age. So when our government has the appearance of supporting that invasion, even in the form of an agency shooting an American citizen, you know, I don't know the particulars of what happened down there, but
they haven't said.
You know,
they're keeping it under wraps. They're not telling people.
Just like they didn't want to tell people about this transgender guy that went in and shot up the children and teachers at a Christian school.
Isn't that amazing?
So we can see that our government is involved in overthrowing the people. Now here, I'd love this one. Okay, let's get our mind around this, okay? The people are sovereign. If the government is overthrowing someone, it's the people that they're overthrowing because we're the king. So if the government is now working against the king, then the government has gone rogue. The government is in rebellion. If the instrumentalities of government, enough of them have been commandeered by the enemy, and now they're using it, well, we have a choice. We can go into exile, or we can somehow stand and take it back. And that's the question everybody's wrestling with. If we knew what to do, then maybe we would do it, but we don't have the leadership. It's like, that's what's missing. People don't act because they don't know what to do. And I think that, as the situation becomes desperate, I think we'll see Yah raise leaders up to, take stands where stands should be taken. And those will become the fronts from which we operate to take the planet back, if that's possible. For our Father, which is what I think that ultimately the Dominion mandate's all about, is, you know, it seems to be reinforced. This is our planet. This is our inheritance. And so, you know, someone stole it from us while we were sleeping. And America especially represents that idea, which is why we put the chains of the Constitution on the powers of government so that we could be free to enjoy our sovereignty inside of a covenant with our Creator. And I know that sounds real happily ever after, but that's the vision.
Okay. Well, let's talk about a couple other practical things. We've got about maybe 5 minutes left today. Certainly, there is a lot of attention being given to the debt ceiling. And, matter of fact, I saw any number of stories. I spent some time talking about it yesterday. The lies of the Biden Fuhrer, the fake president. It would be horrible if we defaulted. Folks, we defaulted years ago. The United States has defaulted multiple times. They defaulted on the greenbacks after the war to prevent Southern independence. They defaulted after the Revolutionary War. They defaulted during the first truly fascist regime in America, FDR, when they stole the American people's gold and said, well, we're not going to pay you as we made a contract to do for gold. And they revoked the various species fulfillment clauses. In other words, default is a bunch of BS. Who are we kidding? They have defaulted. And so it's all about just realizing what's already happened. What people don't understand is this is being set up as a big distraction. And meanwhile, people are seeing their savings destroyed. They are they're not taking the proper actions. There's still a war against anything that's a real alternative, and they're continuing to set up the central bank digital currencies, try to move people into the coming mark of the beast. One of the easy items, I guess, is just to realize if you are relying on various things that represent contracts with people that you can't trust to keep their word, you better start making other plans. And you better start saying, okay, if I have some funds, I better get some, if nothing else, some cash on hand. Better still, gold and silver. Come out, start making arrangements that you'll have food when the grocery stores don't have deliveries anymore, when there are no parts being delivered, and so forth. A couple minutes left, David. Practical things. What would you recommend as far as what people need to understand now?
We need to understand community. We've forgotten how to do family and friends. We've forgotten how to depend on each other, and we've all become afraid of each other, and we've all run to the government to take care of us. And the idea of repent literally means that we need to change our minds. We need to turn away from what we've been dependent upon and go through the uncomfortable. I think why people are in denial is because they knew it would be too painful because they have so much invested in this system of certainty, which has now become uncertain. So learn how to have conversations of substance again with your friends and family, and, you know, pull it together so that we can survive this thing we're going through. This, you know, we better evolve or we're going to die. That's really what we're being faced with. When a species faces extinction, you know, they're having to make a choice. You know, change your environment, change the way you interface. And I think that our Messiah gave us the best example. He demonstrated what it takes and what it costs. And we're afraid to go there, you know, as a people. We're afraid of sacrifice. We've gotten too comfortable. So get comfortable with uncomfortable. And I think that's the solution, is wean yourself off. Look to friends and family and neighbors and your community for help, and be a light in the darkness. And I don't know what more than that. I think that's how we survive this thing that's coming up. Angel of death go right over the top of us if we're practicing the principles of the gospel, Mark.
There's a line where Yeshua tells people, pray that your flight not be on the Sabbath or in the winter. And I guess the good news for those of us that understand that one is we're coming into late spring, mid-spring, and almost to summertime. Lots of stuff is growing. This is a time when, if you have not begun to restore that which is lost and start, okay, I need to be able to have food. I need to be able to do this and that and the other thing. Well, it's a time to be able to do those things. So he has given us the ability at this point in time to begin to make, if we haven't made them already, some of the changes that we need to. And, again, that's my urging to folks. Better get with it while we can.
You know, all things work together for good for those that are called, those that love and are called according to his purpose. And so I'm trusting that a lot of your listeners are in that body of people that have been called out and to be separate. And see, that's not just some quippy little saying, you know, it is an expression of how we succeed inside of a covenant with our Father.
Right. Well, we better get with it. So it's time to start succeeding. So, and succeed. Hey, and thanks, David. Shabbat shalom, folks.